Before I introduce Brother Mike Perry from the Rosemar Congregation, we have been informed that John Rockhold, who most of you know, has had a stroke this afternoon. I don't have any further information at this time. Tonight we're honored to have Michael Perry and his wife Emily and their little son Anthony with us. Mike is a pulpit minister at Rosemar. Previously, he was a campus minister at Ohio University through the Blackburn Hills congregation in Athens. He's a graduate of OVU with a BA in Bible. And as I mentioned, he's married to Emily Perry, and they have their two-year-old buddy and son, Anthony, with them tonight. I'm sure you'll want to get to meet all of them and Anthony, too. So at this time, I give you Michael Perry.
Well, good evening. You don't know how much of an accomplishment it is for me to say good evening, and I'm actually right, because we have a 4 o'clock service at Rosemar, and so that's the afternoon. And I get up there, I say, good evening. And they look at me, no, it's afternoon. So I feel really proud of myself. I'm really happy to be here. I count this as a blessing. I'm very thankful to be able to do what I do. I get to study my Bible and preach, and God has really blessed us, blessed me and my wife, and again, it's just an honor to be here and to share the Word with you. I want to talk about a man named Peter and this little conversation that he has with Jesus at the end of John chapter 21, with the end of John in chapter 21. And so, you know, basically, you know, this is a time of year where we talk about things that we're thankful for, you know. And I am thankful, certainly, to be here, but I'm thankful for this message. I'm thankful for Peter and the things that he messed up. I'm thankful for Jesus and how he approaches him and gets him to see what he needs to be, and that's a shepherd. We know that Peter is a fisherman. We know that he was told, you're no longer a fisherman, you're going to be a fisher of men. Well, now, within this lesson, we're going to see that Peter is going to be commissioned to be a shepherd. And so, this is one of my favorite passages in all of the Scripture. And so, what I want to do, just go ahead and turn there to John chapter 21. And I want to start by reading just leading up to that at the end of chapter 20, starting in verse 30. And it says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And that could be a really good way to end this book, but he doesn't do that. He then goes on to tell of this specific instance where Jesus appears before, you know, Peter and James and John, who are fishing with him, and this conversation ensues that, again, has been very important to me and is something I always look to when I am trying to figure out where I stand. So we know Peter was a fisherman. You know, anyone who really identifies with being a fisherman can relate to Peter. Do you have any fishermen in here? Anyone? You want to do some fishing? That's a sacred thing, is it not? You ever seen the sign, "Gone fishing"? Sometimes you just got to say, "I got to go fishing." And you got to think, what happened leading up to this? Well, you know, Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. He abandoned him. He was feeling guilty. He was, what do I do now? Well, I think, and I'm just making a bit of a guess here, I think he went, I'm going to go do what I know I can do, and I'm going to go fishing. Well, we know the story. They go out. Do they catch any fish? No. Jesus comes along and they don't know it. Cast your net on the other side. They catch all these fish, 153 fish. Well, a lot of fish. I love that Peter, when he realizes, well, actually, John realizes who it is, tells Peter. Peter is so excited, for some reason, he puts on his heaviest jacket and jumps in the water. And I just am always just taken aback by that, that they were 100 yards away and Peter just had to get to Jesus. And so here we are. He's fishing. And so I want to read just a bit here starting in chapter 21. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. You can imagine what this was like at this time. Jesus had appeared to them, but can you imagine the shock that they're in, that he actually was risen? At this point, Peter has really not reconciled with what he did and what he said. It's only when he has this conversation with Jesus that he really, you see this reconciliation, and you see again the commission of him going from this fisher of men to being a shepherd. We're in verse 3. So, I'm going fishing, and they said, we'll go with you. They went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Well, they would fish at night because early in the morning they could get to the market and sell fresh fish and make more money. Well, verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to him, children, do you have any fish? Now, I just want to stop here. If you've ever been fishing and you haven't caught anything, somebody comes up to you and say, hey, how many you catch? You're like, get out of here, man. This was his livelihood. This is what he did. Couldn't catch anything. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, catch any fish? Oh, by the way, you know what? Throw the net on the other side and you'll catch something. So imagine, I'm Peter. I'm thinking, man, things are falling apart. And I can't even catch any fish. Okay, I'll cast my net on the other side. I guess I'll do that. So, verse 6. Jesus says, cast a net on the other side, the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were able to haul it in. Now they were not able to haul it in because the quantity of the fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment. So when they were fishing, they would probably strip down. Basically, I would say probably what we would say, swim trunks or something like that. He puts on his outer garment, and for he was stripped from work, he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. And so, again, what made Peter jump in that water? Why couldn't he wait 100 yards? I want to look at a passage in Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 7. Now, this is after the resurrection. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, they were bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And, the stone had been rolled back. If you look there in verse 5, it said, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. In verse 7, this is what I want us to really recognize. It says, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going to go before you to Galilee. So, Peter, I think this is significant. Because Peter was, in a lot of ways, he's kind of the leader of the disciples. He was certainly the most bold to speak up. You know, he rebuked Jesus and everything. But I think that he felt really guilty for what he had done. And I think this is, in a way, you know, Jesus is letting them know to go tell him here and make sure you tell Peter. And so I think that, again, this shows us, you know, that Jesus wants to, you know, to have that relationship with Peter. And so, so we get back, go back to John 21. So they catch this incredible amount of fish. John realizes it's Peter, that it's Jesus. He tells Peter, and he then jumps in. So after writing, you know, like I said there in the end of chapter 20, after writing what appears to be this perfect ending for the gospel, John adds this epilogue, which demonstrates that we never really come to the end of the gospel. You know, this was not the end for Peter. There was so much more. It was just the beginning in reality. And so, you know, we never, and this is what I really take from this, we will never outgrow our need for the grace of Jesus from Jesus Christ and Him being in our lives. And so, you know, he told him, tell Peter I'm coming. This is the third time that he's appeared. And so, you know, he's making himself known. So just as the Apostle Paul would continue to make tents when he would go from city to city, so that, you know, so the apostles who preceded him, they continued to be fishermen. You know, we talked about that just a second ago. They went back to doing what they knew best. So whatever our vocation, Jesus meets us there. But he doesn't leave what we do untouched. Fishers of fish are also called to be fishers of men. That's back in Matthew 4 and verse 19 when Jesus tells them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And this is the neat part. Just being a fisherman on that day required Jesus Christ for them to catch fish. And just so when they were fishers of men, it required Jesus Christ for them to be able to reach those other people. So Peter hauled 153 fish ashore only because Jesus filled the nets. Peter would see 3,000 conversions on the day of Pentecost. Wouldn't that be amazing? He would see 3,000, more counting women, and as the days went on. The only reason, though, is because Jesus was filling his church. And so really, what I see from this, first of all, is that in whatever it is, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whatever we find ourselves doing, Jesus should have a part in that. He should be guiding the action, and we should be looking to him and say, oh, should I cast on this side or this side? And so again, he wants Peter to succeed. And so in 9 through 14, you know, Peter felt freedom to move toward Jesus in his brokenness. And we see Jesus welcoming him, and his beloved friend. Okay, so let's just read a little bit further here in chapter 21. Look there in verse 9. It says, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you had just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of the large fish, 153 of them. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus having a part in that, I believe, as well. So it wasn't torn. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And so we see Jesus welcoming Peter. Imagine what that made Peter feel. Imagine how guilty he was before for what he did, because he knew who Jesus was. He witnessed all these miracles. He saw him go to the cross. He risen from the dead now. And so imagine what this was doing for Peter. So again, Jesus provides our every need. You know, with the fish there, well, and then their food. There are only two times, and this is just a little aside, when a charcoal fire is mentioned in the New Testament. It's interesting. It's earlier in John's Gospel when Peter, while he's warming himself before he denies Jesus as the Christ. And so now here they are around this charcoal. I think that it's there to remind him and then bring it full circle so that he can be reconciled and be commissioned to be this shepherd. Okay, so he experiences the reconciling and the restorative power of the gospel, and I pray that that is what we also will receive. So let's read, and this is the good bit. We'll start there in verse 15. Okay, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." 16, he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to the Lord, "You know everything, and you know that I love you." So Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show what kind of death that he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Wow. You're just told how you're going to die. Follow me. Well, we know Jesus went to the cross. He knew what he had to do. And he still followed his Father's will. And so here he is in every way able to relate to what Peter's going through. And that's such a good thing for us, because he can relate to us as well. Okay, so in this portion of Scripture, you know, there's some, and I learned this from Dr. Moss. I took all the Greek and all of that, and I'm sure he could explain this a lot better. But in this passage, they're using at times two different words for the word love. One is agape. I think we know that word. This sacrificial love, where I put something for myself, I'm willing to sacrifice. When Jesus asks the first two questions, he uses the word agape. Each time, Peter responds with phileo, which is a brotherly love. And then the last time Jesus asks, he changes to phileo, and again, Peter responds. And I don't want to get hung up on that. There's a lot of debate on this, you know, but I think that also, in the same way that we use different words that represent the same thing, they did too. You know, and I've heard people say that they just use these words interchangeably at times. And so, but here's the point. So as I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing that Jesus is now trying to get Peter to understand the next step in his life, and here's the good bit. As I was studying this about what he was saying about the sheep and him being a shepherd, each one of these things that he talks about, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep, are all, when you compare it to an actual shepherd and how they deal with their sheep, it's very, very, it's exactly similar. So let's look at the first one. When he says, "Do you love me more than these?" Well, I can't go on without saying this. You know, what is he saying there? Do you love me more than these other disciples? Or is he saying, you know, do you love me more than anything? I think we all have a these. Is it safe to say that, you know, we struggle with things that oftentimes we put before Jesus Christ? And Jesus tells us we have to love him more than anything. And so I want us to look at this and see that him saying, you know, do you love me more than anything? Okay? So ask yourself, do you love Jesus Christ more than anything? And so Peter answers, yes. Yes, I love you. And so the first thing he says is, feed my lambs. Well, if you look at that, what's the first thing that you would take care of as a shepherd? The babes. And you think about people that are babes in Christ, they need special attention. They need the milk. You know, they need that so that then they can then grow on to mature. But that, you know, that initial, you know, when we were first saved, that's a very important time in your walk. As a shepherd, as what he's going to be doing, Jesus is relaying to him how important it is to not forget about those that come and give themselves to Jesus Christ and say, okay, well, they gave themselves to Jesus Christ, they're good to go. We need to realize that that's just the beginning. They are to mature. Well, what's the second thing? The second thing he says is, tend my sheep. Well, so you take care of those that can't take care of themselves, and then what else do we see them doing? Well, as a shepherd, you have to take care of the physical needs of your animals. You know, to make sure there are no broken bones, to make sure that they're not sick. And so he's, you know, relaying to Peter, you know, you need to look out and tend to those that need special attention. And now we're differentiating between a young Christian. We're now talking about, you know, all of the things. You know, we just talked about someone had a stroke. You know, we have these lengthy prayer lists, and we have people in our lives that we love to see come to Christ. And I really think, you know, especially within the body, you know, we need to, as I'm not an elder and I'm not a shepherd, and you know, I never had been, but I do know that we need to look out for each other. And the role that Peter's going to take, because remember, where's he going to stay in his ministry, at least for a while? He's going to stay there in Jerusalem, and he's going to be a shepherd to the beginnings of the church. And so this is really important. This is something that is specific to him. But I think what we can take from this is that at first we must take care of those that are young in the faith, and then we need to also care about the needs of the people. Okay, what's the third thing that he says? He asks him again. Peter gets a little flustered. He said, you know everything. You know I love you. And he said, well, then feed my sheep. And so, really, this is where you get to the meat of it. And that's, I guess, pun intended. Okay? There is a need for us to be fed by the Word of God. There is a need for what the elders and the shepherds and those that are in positions of leadership and what they do in feeding people with God's Word. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for God's Word. And when we have leaders that are not going and willing to present that to people, and they don't look at that as something that is important, is that going to affect the rest of the sheep? You bet it is. The leadership, and I'm not, this is not a problem here, I'm not saying that, I'm just speaking generally, you know, when the leadership is doing what they're supposed to do, you see that everything works together. You see that when a shepherd is taking care of the young ones and he's tending to their needs and he's feeding them, he knows their name, they follow him, and they do what? And go where he goes. And so really, he is, again, I want to say this again, Peter is going from a fisher of men to this position of a shepherd. But there's so much for us to apply, is there not? We need to care about those. And this is something that I see where we just lack, I think, you know, as Christians, on making it a priority to really spend time with people who have just become Christians. That is so important. That is, they need to understand this is the beginning of their walk. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. We have to take care of one another. The physical needs are important as well as the spiritual. And we need to keep feeding ourselves and others with the Word of God. So here's this fisherman who would have known that he would want to be being a fisherman to us talking about him right now. I want to just talk about one more thing and the lesson will be yours. The last part there in verse 19 in John chapter 21 is hard for me to wrap my mind around. He tells him all of this. He lays all this on him and he tells him, you know, you used to go where you wanted to and dress yourself. Well, when you're old, you will stretch out your hands. A lot of people think that Peter was crucified. Some say upside down. We really don't know. It's kind of hearsay, I guess. And they're going to carry you where you do not want to go. This is how you're going to die, Peter. You're going to spend your life serving the kingdom of God as a shepherd, and then you're going to die for it. Follow me. I think that what I take from this and what I would like to express is that Jesus was showing Peter what it would cost to do what he was about to do. What did it cost Jesus to cover our sins? His very life. When he was in the garden praying, "May this cup pass from me," those were real emotions and real prayers. But he followed through with it. The question is for us and for Peter at this time, is he going to follow through with it? Well, we find out he did. And so when we look at this, I hope that we can take from it that, you know, Jesus is working on us so that we're prepared to follow him. You know, it says, the scriptures tell us that we won't be tempted in a way that we can't bear, and will always be a way of an escape. I think that's just one facet of this. He's preparing us to follow him. And ultimately, when you look over in 2 Corinthians, it says that this light momentary affliction that we have on this earth is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So that means the glory of God in heaven is so heavy that if we don't do these things and we aren't prepared, it'll crush us. And so I think that obviously suffering along with being willing to put yourself behind others, being willing to put the gospel first is something that is a lifestyle and is learned. In Luke chapter 17, it talks about these workers. And basically in the passage it gets down and you know, they're talking about these servants. You know, you wouldn't say to your servant, you know, "Hey, come sit down with me." You say, "No, go and prepare my meal, and then after that you can eat." And then when the servants are commended for what they've done, they say, "Look, I don't need to be commended. I'm only doing what I was commanded to do." And so here I think that Peter was learning this, and I hope that we can continue to learn this and have that attitude, because that's something to be thankful for. He's completely honest. He doesn't distort what is expected of us. He has told us that we need to count the cost, and he's told us what the cost is. It's our life. It's our life. I want to leave you with a passage from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This, to me, kind of really ties this all together. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, today we can't literally sit down with Jesus like Peter got to, and him telling you, "This is what's going to happen in your life." But the neat thing here that I see in this passage is that if we give ourselves to Christ, if we give ourselves to God to do his will, then if we aren't conformed to this world and we're transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ by the renewal of our mind, we can know what God's will is for our life, just like Peter did. And I think that that is a comfort to know that if it's a big decision or it's a little thing, that by testing and us being renewed by the way that in our mind, the way we think, giving ourselves wholly to God, He will reveal to you what you need to do in your life. God is amazing like that. He comes to you and He tells you, this is going to be hard, but I'm going to be with you. And this is going to happen. The fact is the story we just read about is completely true. This man, Jesus, died on that cross. He was raised, and He had this conversation with Peter. And Peter went on to do exactly what Jesus told him to. He fed the lambs, He tended to the sheep, and He fed the sheep. I hope and I pray that we do that as well. I hope that as leaders, we do that. I hope that as each of you individually do that in your life. And then we can say, like in Romans chapter 12, and I'm saying right now, I appeal to you, give yourself to Jesus Christ. Let Him rule your life. Because if you're not being transformed by Him, you're being conformed to this world. That's just the way it is. And so if we're not being conformed to this world, then we're being transformed by the renewal of our mind into the likeness of Jesus Christ, knowing God's will for our life. And that is truly a blessing and something I'm thankful for. I appreciate this time that I've got to share this message with you. If you're here tonight and you have not taken on Christ in baptism, if you've not confessed Him, place your faith in Him, now's that time. Today is all we know we have. If you need prayers, I know. Just in meeting some of the people I know and then meeting and walking around before, that there are people here who are going to pray for you. You know? And that's a good thing. And that's what we're here for, and that's what we do. We follow along like Peter did, and we do like Jesus said, follow me. So this day, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, now's the time. There's Amy, would you please come while we stand and as we sing.